There is a handout sheet in the bulletin if you care to follow along. And what we have is, I'm type of person, or in my preaching ministry, ever since I've had a pastorate, which was started in 2001, is that when you have a holiday or you have special occasions, it's always good to talk about it. It just lends itself naturally to it. And I'm sure every one of you, when you came to church today, you were thinking, I know he's going to preach some type of message on a Memorial Day theme. And I do that. And well, with Memorial Day really is about remembering. That's probably, it is just such a strong topic to talk about. But I like to start off, and I like to give just a little bit of history of Memorial Day, as you see on the screen in front of you. Memorial Day is a U.S. federal holiday wherein the men and women who died while serving in the United States Armed Forces are remembered. If you look at it, its beginning, the holiday, which is celebrated every year on the final Monday of May, was formerly known as Declaration Day. And I find that very interesting, and it originated after the American Civil War to commemorate the Union and Confederate soldiers who died in the Civil War. And what happens is ever since I was a little boy, we always had Memorial Day, and we always honored all of those who paid the ultimate price. And it had a start, and I'm glad that they expanded it. I really am. But it had its start coming out of the Civil War. And realizing this, just a little trivia here, Civil War is the only war where both sides were American casualties. You realize that. Every casualty was an American casualty, whether we want to, you know. And then when you go down below the Mason-Dixon line, they're still fighting the Civil War, okay? You got to realize that, too. When we went to Bible college, we would go back and forth a lot of times. But by the 20th century, Memorial Day had been extended to honor all Americans who have died while in military service. And so that's what we do. And so what we have is we have a time of remembering. Since I became a Christian, I was 19 when I got saved. Star Spangled Banner, I sang that my whole life, and I have a hard time singing that without crying, just because of the great heritage that all of us enjoy here in our country. Now, I know America certainly has its problems and things of that nature, but we have this godly heritage, and when you think about how our freedom is protected even today, the cost that it has, that's called upon many to pay for that, for our freedom that we enjoy. And so, but what we do is, instead of honoring all of our veterans today, we always wait for Veterans Day to do that. Although I am thankful for everyone who has served in the military, and I'm thankful. I often think of the families that have been impacted greatly when they get the word of someone who's been lost, someone who's paid the ultimate price for our country. This is a reminder to all of us of the freedom we enjoy, or this is a reminder to all of us that the freedom that we enjoy came at a tremendous cost. And I think we need to realize that. Just as Memorial Day is considered a secular holiday, and this is where we come to our message today, the first 3 points is going to be secular nature. And then when we get to the fourth point, then we're going to talk about the Christian. And actually, two of the three first points will also apply to the fourth point. I know you don't understand anything I said, but I had 2 cups of coffee today, and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but close, right? So anyways, the passage that we read today is of Jesus teaching us to remember his death, the broken body, and the shed blood is front center. But as a nation, as you go to number one, as a nation, we need to remember the sacrifice that was made so we can be free. I think that's that is called upon us. I can remember as a little boy sitting out front of the house that I now own on the bridge and watching the Memorial Day parade come by. and you had all those guys in military uniform. And, oh, by the way, you veterans are here today. Can you still fit in your uniform? Huh? Some can. Yeah. I always enjoy to watch the Memorial Day parade because I always think that. I wonder how many of these guys, you know, I wonder how many girdles were bought on Saturday. You know, and they're going like, they're walking down the street going, you know. But I can remember watching that. And as a youngster, I would follow those soldiers, and they would do the gun salute in the cemetery there, right up from the house. And we used to, sometimes those guys were nice and they'd give you the brass. They'd shoot the guns and we'd come back with them and we'd have them. But as a little guy, I didn't realize so much the great sacrifice. But see, we need to remember. And number two is why we need to remember. To remember and reflect on that sacrifice ensures diligence to guard our freedom. And this is what's one of the things that's happening in our nation today. I know this is secular in nature, but well, we can be patriotic. I think Christians ought to have a love for their country. I cite Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, where Paul states that his heart's desire and prayer is for Israel. That was his nation, even though they were occupied by Rome. And he had this tremendous ministry of preaching. He still had a heart for his countrymen. And if anything, our patriotism ought to be that we have a heart for our countrymen. But to remember and reflect on that sacrifice ensures diligence to guard our freedom. And what happens a lot of times is that, now I'm looking at a crowd of people here that pretty excited about being an American. Okay? But not everybody's that excited about being an American. And sometimes I think, and I don't want to dump on the younger generation, but if the younger generation forgets what it cost for the freedoms that we enjoy, you know what's going to happen? Then there won't be any more freedom. That's what's going to happen. I put my sermon together during the week and give Michael the handout sheet on Thursday, and he puts it in a bulletin. But the sermon preparation continues as I listen and as I do some things. And I thought it was interesting is that I was listening to the radio the other day. And who's the founder of Facebook? Is it Mark? Huh? Zuckerberg? Did I get it right? Okay. He said they did some kind of a survey, and it's interesting that the top response was people don't necessarily consider them a citizen of America. They consider themselves a citizen of the world. Now, what we ought to be, that ought to send off some alarms, and the alarms would be this, is that we are forgetting the tremendous heritage that we have, and notice this, the cost of that heritage. I'll tell you why it's hard to remember this a lot of times, because it is painful. Because death is painful. And if we remember on Memorial Day, that every flag that's on a grave was someone who died, probably what we would consider died prematurely. As a little boy, I was, of course, I was raised and all the World War II movies were out then. I can remember going to Seelands Grove to the movie theater to watch The Devil's Brigade. That was a World War II movie. And that wasn't even on TV yet. And I was just a little guy. And you say, I can't believe you're talking about that as a preacher. Yeah, I did. And and you watch these things. And sometimes what happens is we forget that every person that drew their last breath in one of those battles was a family that was impacted greatly. And I think as Christians, we ought to be at the front remembering those who've done it. And here's what happens. It's number three. You say, well, we're going to get out early. Absolutely. See, I taunt you now. I hate when I do that. And when I listen to the message, I say, now, why did I do that? I don't know why I do that. Okay? It's did you ever read the life story of Oliver B. Green? You ever read his life story? Just a little pamphlet. It's a great, great read. He was the type of guy that, before he got saved, he was a rascal. And so one guy bet him one time that he couldn't stick his face in a bear trap and get it out. And so he was one of those guys that all you had to do was have a dare and he would do it. So, and that's sort of like me. I'd sit in here and I'm preaching and then I say something and think, why did I say that? Because I can't stay away from it. Just like they do that for Oliver Green and they'd say, and it just bothered him until it went snap. And then he realized he shouldn't have done it. So the jaws just snap shut, and I'll move on from there. And if anybody listens to it online, they'll say, what's that guy talking about bear traps for? I'm not on dope today because I didn't take my Zyrtec, so it's clear-minded all the way. But number three is this, to forget will bring complacency to our lives. And this is as a nation, some of our problems that we have as a nation is because we are forgetting. And you say, well, why? Well, now I'm going to dump on your holiday weekends, right? Is that, you know, Memorial Day kicks off the summer, like Andy said, right? I mean, that's there. It kicks off the summer. It's a three-day weekend, you know. We don't have to go to work Monday, and that's good. And there's nothing wrong with all that stuff. And so people will plan all kinds of trips and activities and all that. That's fine. That's fine. But there was a time when our nation didn't have a Memorial Day. There was a time when there wasn't that three-day weekend because there was battles being fought, there was lives being lost, and after that happened, they said, you know what, we need to set aside a time to remember this. And then people picked up on that and said, you know what, we need to expand that because we should never forget. We should never forget and never let these people die in vain. Well, that's the secular part, okay? And I think that, and if you look at the slide, it goes all the way to the end. This is the last slide I got. And you said, boy, this will be the, that's okay. But Jesus, in the passage that we looked at today, Jesus prepared his disciples to include a time of remembering in their life. As a matter of fact, the Bible is absolutely full of verses that call the Christian to remember. It starts in one of my favorites is in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, where it doesn't use the word remember, it uses the phrase, lest you forget. Same thing, isn't it? Lest you forget or remember? Lest you forget. And in that particular passage is God was challenging the people of God that they would not forget that, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord. And that we were to teach that to our children. Literally, every aspect of our life, when we stand up, when we sit down, when we travel, when we eat, it is all supposed to be about remembering who God is. Amen? That's one passage. Now, Jesus, of course, we know he's in the upper room. It's the night of his betrayal. It was going to set everything into motion. Peter was going to deny the Lord. Jesus was going to stand before Pilate. The offer was going to be made to release either Jesus or Barabbas. They chose Barabbas. That night, all that, Judas has left the room to start all those things. And Jesus, he says, this is my body that's going to be broken. This do in remembrance of me. Now, I'm the type of pastor that says this. There wasn't one of those fellows in the room that understood what he was talking about that night. But they went along with it. Sort of like sometimes when we preach, not everybody really understands, but they go along with it, right? And then he took that cup and he says, this do in remembrance of me. How do we know? Because Paul records it for us. Here in this passage, we can read the actual sequence of events in the Gospels as you read them, but I chose Paul's. But he wanted them to remember. They wanted the Christian to remember. Isn't that interesting? Well, there's a lot of things that we could be called upon to remember, and why don't we remember to get up on time to come to church? Well, that's important, but what are we supposed to remember? We're supposed to remember what Jesus has done for us. And that is this, is he came to be the Savior. Amen? That's what he did. The Bible says that before the foundations of the world were set in place, in the mind of God, Christ was slain. Right? Slain before the foundations of the world. That's what it says. So Jesus comes, and he is now, this horrific event is going to take place in the lives of the disciples, and he is preparing them to remember. Well, I'm sure as that night unfolded, he goes to the garden, the soldiers show up. We don't talk about it a whole lot, but Jesus met with those soldiers and says, you know, you're here for me, let these go. And they left. John hung around a little bit, and Peter, after Peter got up and flailed around and cut some guy's ear off, and actually Mike was reminding us about that in Sunday school today. That was a pretty brave thing to do anyways, was it not? Yeah. And so what happens is this whole event, and so after it took place and after the resurrection took place, then they remembered these things. And so what the church used to do is practice this all the time. They would remember. Well, why? Well, let's go back to the last point that we just looked at before. Because if we don't remember what Christ has done for us, it's going to bring complacency in our lives as Christians. See, that's what happens is we live our lives and, okay, we're Christians now, okay? I got saved when I was 19, and I'm so thankful because I was living a life of self-destruction. I'm so thankful that God opened my eyes and showed me my need for a Savior. But now, did you ever run a good hot bath? Did you ever run a good hot bath? And you just ease right down in that, and it's like, oh, right? And you're going, oh, you got to get used to it, right? 10 minutes into a good hot bath, what happens? It's not a good hot bath anymore, is it? No, because the bath water loses a little bit of its consistency, and my body has adjusted a little bit to that temperature. I like to say that that's a good picture of what complacency is. We just get used to it. And then if you're like me, when you run a good hot bath, now you're learning way too much about me, okay? But I mean, I'm willing to expose this part of my life to you today. But sometimes then I just let a little bit of the water out so that I can add some good hot in there, right? Yeah, yeah. And then it becomes a good hot bath again, right? Then you remember what that hot water feels like, and it's just so soothing. Now, for the Christian, this is what's going to guard. When we are called upon by God to remember something, it's so that we don't get complacent in our life. We get busy living life. We get busy loving our families, caring for ourselves, caring for our families, and what happens? We forget. We forget. The songwriter wrote, lest we forget Gethsemane, right? Lest I forget thine agony. I think I got it out of place there, right? He says, lead me to Calvary. And you know what we need as Christians? We need a good Memorial Day in our life all the time. That's what Jesus says. Why? Just as it's important for our nation to remember the great sacrifice that we enjoy, our freedoms today for the believer, for the church of Jesus Christ, we need to remember what he has done for us. Watch this. If we forget, what happens? Well, we still stay good people. Well, yeah. But we lose the power in our life. We lose that light that's supposed to be shining. Did you ever notice that passage in Matthew chapter 5 where it talks about no man takes and puts a bushel basket over that light, right? For you and I to begin to forget, it's like taking that bushel basket. Oh, the light's still shining, but it's only shining in one little place. And you and I are called upon as believers today to remember. It's painful to remember, though. And you say, well, why? It's love. Well, yeah. I mean, we look at the cross, and it's a sign of for us of love. But really, when we think about this, is that death is not something that's easy to think about. But yet Jesus, in his death, in his resurrection, we have that. What happens if we forget? Well, what happens if we forget is it's going to affect our families. Maybe we all take an inventory today in our lives. What might it be if you and I have forgotten? Well, we begin this. We lose a burden for our families. We lose a burden for our kids, for our grandkids, our great-grandkids. We replace the desire that we have for them to walk with God, or we just celebrate the fact that they're good. They're productive. And you say, oh, I can't believe you said that. But watch this. Are we forgetting? Are we forgetting that the primary function of every person in the world is to bring glory to God? Amen? That's what it says. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, I know this makes us uncomfortable. Because when they were little, I watched Peg. Hi, Peg. How you doing? Her little great-granddaughter, right? Great-granddaughter. Dropped her off for Sunday school today. And her little great-granddaughter just took her by the hand. That I told Karen right in the car, I said, that's the greatest feeling in the world, right there. And you know what? My grandson, he's with us quite often, and when I pick him up from school, I hold his hand. And we walk across the street and stuff. And he's young enough now, he still wants to hold Grandpa's hand. Someday he'll say, oh, Grandpa, let me alone, you know. But anyways, that is just a precious feeling, is it not? So I'm not attacking you. I'm challenging all of us. I remember when I was at the participated with the National Day of Prayer, and they said, let's break up into groups and two or three at a time and ask for a prayer request. And so the one guy, he said, well, what's your prayer request? And I said, that my family would have more than a casual relationship with God. And he said, oh, yeah, that's it. I don't want my family just to have a casual relationship with God. I want them to have a fervent love for Jesus. I want them to have a dynamic walk with God. You see what I'm saying? And you know what? Here's what we think. Well, then that's what the pastor wants me to do. He wants me to go home and call him. Hey, you know, you should have heard the message the pastor preached today. You know, I want you to get serious about walk with God. You know what? That's not what you ought to do today. You know what you ought to do? Here's what you ought to do. You ought to get in your prayer closet. That's where the power is. Watch this. God, I don't know the hearts of my family, but you do. And Lord, my desire is that they walk with you, that they love you. But you know what? It might be that I've become complacent. You see what I'm saying? You see where it all comes around in a circle here? It might be that the complacency is not with God, but the complacency is with Dave. Because you know what? I'm not remembering the tremendous sacrifice that Christ has paid for me. You know, people will misunderstand us all the time. I remember when I worked when I went to the shop every day at Wood Moat, I thought it was very interesting. Is we would go to the shop and you know they would say one time they said to me, they said, "Boy, you're a bit of a fanatic, aren't you?" Well, what do you mean? Well, you go to church Sunday, yeah. You go to church Sunday night, yeah. You go to church Wednesday night. That's a fanatic. I said, wait a minute. I said, let's talk about fanatics here. I said, that's when the Old Trail bar room was open yet. And I said, stop at the Old Trail on the way home from work for a beer? Yeah. Stop Monday night? Yeah. Stop Tuesday night? Yeah. Stop Wednesday night? Yeah. Sounds like you're drunk to me. come on now, amen? Oh, yeah. See, you get excited about Jesus. You get excited about Jesus, and people say, and they start challenging all those things. What are we complacent about? What is God speaking to your heart right now? That's what it comes down to. See, the title of the sermon is Remember and Reflect. We'll never reflect in our lives if we don't remember. Now, I could have had Bob set this up today. And you walk in, and this is all set up for communion, and you say, okay, today's communion. And so what happens is then we say, we hold that bread, and okay, Jesus, I remember that you died for me. We take that cup, and we say, I remember that that blood was shed for me. But if that's the only time that you're doing that reflection, I would say this, that complacency is first place in our lives. Amen? And I think what we need to be careful of is this, is that we don't regulate our walk with God as to following a set of rules for attendance in a church. You say, I can't believe a pastor said that. Yeah, I want you to come to church. Absolutely. Because I want you to hear me, right? Right? You know, I love me. Who do you love? Right? Oh, no. See, that's just it. There are people that go to church that are in the midst of complacency in their life. And what we ought to do is this, is it ought to all come together. That's what it ought to be. A vibrant walk. A vibrant walk with the Lord spills over that you want to be around Christians. I like to be around Christians, don't you? Oh, yeah. My faith isn't challenged. I don't have to listen to the rough world of the language. We had a... I don't know. Should I tell him this, Gary? Should I tell him? No, shouldn't. We had the boiler inspector in this week. And Mike, should I tell him? Yeah, we were downstairs, and you're going to think I'm this super spiritual Christian guy, and I struggle in a lot of different areas, believe me. But I heard these voices downstairs, and I thought that's where they buried dead people. I was going down to see if any of them got resurrected. But anyways, I went down, and it's the old side, and there was a boiler guy down there, two of them. He was training a guy, and Mike was down there, and he was hosting them, and I went down, and I introduced myself, and the guy said, you know, man, this boiler is really in good shape because this boiler is older than hell. Well, he's talking to a preacher about hell. Okay? I mean, I don't know where he thought he was. And so I took that opportunity. I thought for a minute. I thought, do I do it or do I don't? You know, it's like, I thought, oh, well, you know, they're down here in the basement, hardly any light. They can shoot me and bury me and... And so I said, well, I'd say the boiler's kind of old, but not near as old as hell. I think hell's been around a little longer than that. And the guy looked, and he goes, yeah, I guess you're right on that one. Oh, my. So, how did I get there? Okay. I'm up front. I'm just about done, right? So here we go. Well, what happens in our lives is this, is, you know, we are, I know what I'm talking about. You know, it's great to be around Christians, you know, things like that aren't stated, and, you know, we have this, it's just wonderful. And so, and so if we're not careful, we enjoy church for all the wrong reasons. We enjoy church because it's Christians who are here. When church ought to be this, is our worship of God corporately together. And if there's no worship in our life during the week, how can we enjoy corporate worship if we're not worshiping God personally? Now, that's why Paul says interesting things in the Bible that sometimes confound us as Christians. That's why he says that we're supposed to pray without ceasing. Why? Because our prayer life is a form of worship before God. And it's just not always getting up and saying, you know, all, you know, how many times during the day can you say, God, I love you and you're the greatest in the world? Well, that is an aspect of our prayer, because Jesus, in teaching his disciples to pray, recognized the fact that we come before the Father worshiping him. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Oh, yeah. But watch this, is that if our worship in there, and you say, well, why are you talking about that? Well, remembering and reflecting. Jesus said this. He says, you know what? Of anything that I want you to cherish about my time with you here on earth is my broken body, my shed blood, my death. Because that's what it's all about. As a matter of fact, can't get to heaven without receiving Christ as your Savior. And he can't be the Savior if he doesn't die and conquer death. Amen? That's what it's all about. That's how important this is. So, just a few words today. For you and I, as Christians, the secular holiday is precious to me. It's precious to our family. Because there's a family here in this church that lost his brother in World War II. And that's Glenn Gouge. It just so happened to be my mom's husband. That's how close it was. My oldest brother is my stepbrother. And I think Jim went over and visited his grave in France. I know Mom did. Wow. So, I'm not dodging Memorial Day, because I used to sit and watch my mom talk about it, talk about her first husband and how she loved him. Oh, she loved Dad too, don't get me wrong. But there were some times I didn't think she did, but I mean, it proved out. What a way to end the sermon, right? Well, we better get going here, because I'm sure the restaurants are all full and you're hungry. But, you know, I want us to reflect. I want us to reflect this week on my relationship with God. Am I really coming before him the way I ought to be? Is there a complacency that's set into my life? My. Let's pray.